This morning I want to talk about this topic. It's all about who you know and what you know. That's a slight change the way it's normally phrased. When I was a senior in high school, one day sitting in the gym being lectured by the head of our athletic department, he was the head coach, he was talking about the idea that we as seniors in high school needed to learn this idea. It's about who we know, not what we know. That incensed me. I really resented hearing that because I wanted to believe that it was an individual's doing. What that individual brought to any situation was the real determinant of success and happiness. I didn't want to know that by being connected to other people, that was the way success and happiness arrived at our doorsteps. The reason I didn't want to know that is because I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't have those connections. I knew how to work. I knew how to work, but I didn't know how to make friends very easily. I wasn't socially competent or comfortable. Consequently, I didn't want that to be a real important factor in my life after high school. I think my coach, despite what I believed him to be totally wrong, now I think some of what he said was accurate, but some of it was still erroneous. And this is how I see it now. It is who we know, and it is what we know, and it is that combination. When we are wise enough to put that in alignment, we can create more effectively in the world. So the question then becomes, who do we need to know? Who do we want to know? Who is the big connection? Well, I never really felt like I belonged to the good old boy network, although looking back, I suppose I did. I'm a male. I'm white. And in the United States, those are a couple of very good old boy connections. In the corporate world, those two things can serve a person very well. So they are those kind of connections. But our good doesn't really come from other people. They can facilitate it, but that's not the source. And so it is that exploration of the idea of what is the source of our good, who is the source of our good, that I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about. One of the ideas that I've recently been playing with is what I refer to as the 3G model. It's made up. It's made up as a way to be able to explain a point of view and have it be easy to image, not only for myself, but for other people to whom I was speaking. So the three G's are this: God, a guy or a gal, and our good. That's the G. G for God, G for guy or gal, and G for good. And I can diagram these in a pretty simple way. I draw a big circle on the left-hand side of a page that represents God. Off to the right, maybe a half inch separating the big circle, I draw a smaller circle that represents our good. In between are four horizontal connecting lines that touch the rightmost edge of the God circle, if you will, and the leftmost edge of the circle representing our good. And the reason I label these, or I think there are four of them, is at this point in my awareness, I kind of see our connections between God and our good being spiritual, being emotional, being mental, as well as being physical. There may be others, but I'm not aware of them yet. So those are the kind of connections. So who do we want to know? God. I am thinking that we need to come to terms with knowing God. Now, whose version of God are we familiar with? Which God have we been told about? And it's very interesting. Lots of us have been taught about God. God is this way, God is that way, God is this, God is that, God is this, God is that, and so on. But, for me, I think it really comes down to the idea that we have minds, and I believe that coming with that package, having that capability, that talent, that asset, comes a requirement to use it. I can't imagine a creator who gave us a mind and then attached this warning label. This is your mind. Do not use it! Exclamation point. I can't imagine that to be true. So using the mind, that is, using our mind to become aware of this image of God as well as we can, and I would guess that that's a big, big challenge because of our awareness is going to be somewhat more limited than this power that we would call God. Other people may be more comfortable with other phrases, Yahweh, Jehovah, the Great Spirit, Supreme Being, Allah, all kinds of phrases, infinite intelligent, all kinds of phrases have been used to describe this intelligent source, this source of life, life force, how spirit, however we want to describe it, whatever label, I think we are going to need to know that connection. That who is somebody or something, some power that we're going to want to know. Now, the other day I was having a conversation with a Muslim who was speaking about a variety of subjects. We were talking about, his spiritual development and his involvement in some of the things that we do, like the healing codes. And he said, a lot of Christians and a lot of Jews don't recognize that, like Christians and Jews, Muslims worship the God of Abraham. We worship the same God. And I thought, and we spoke of that similarity, and I recognized that and had read that before. And later on, after our call had ended, I thought, worshiping the God of Abraham. The God of Abraham asked Abraham to sacrifice his son to prove his obedience. That God doesn't resonate for me personally. A God that wants to prove that I am obedient by asking me to sacrifice my son is, to me, kind of weird. So I don't accept that interpretation as being God. I think that is a man's interpretation that is God. I don't think that's God. I just as soon have a different interpretation. I want to know a different who than the God of Abraham as depicted in that scene of almost sacrificing the son. Lots of people think God wants them to do various things, convert everybody, kill everybody who won't be converted, and on and on. I think those are man-made interpretations of God. I prefer to suggest that we can know a different God. We can know a God that is more in harmony with what we want to experience. If we want to experience fear and worrying about punishment and hell and damnation and so on, then I think it's pretty easy to rely on the gods we've been taught about in early religious upbringing. But if you're looking for a different God, one that makes more sense in the light of your ability to think, I would say exploring that God and the characteristics of that God, is the God that you worship, that you want to connect to in that diagram that I just mentioned, is that a loving God or a punishing God? A merciful God or one more interested in justice? There's an interesting book review that I recently read having to do with, I think this was the title, The Evolution of God. And it used the religious works in a variety of religions, primarily the Western, you know, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, to see these variations between a loving God and a wrathful God, a merciful God and a punitive God. And there was a correlation between the what was going on sociologically, what was going on politically with the tribes, the Israelites, and so on during those phases. So one of the premises of the book is that ultimately the way God is described was largely based upon our need to get along with our neighbors or our excessive power over our neighbors, in which case we needed them less and our God tended to be more punitive and wrathful and punishing of wrongdoers and people of different beliefs and thought processes. I found that to be very interesting. We recognize how small the world is nowadays, and it would seem to me this is one of the times, and I believe this is one of the points of the author of that book, is that we can turn around, recognize the interdependence of all people on the planet, and take a point of view that our gods will tend toward loving and merciful because of our need to get along with one another. The world is too small to be going out and trying to kill the other groups who have some degree of dissimilarity between us and them. So, who we know, that God is an important element in our achievement and experiencing of our happiness. That really is going to be the main focus. Perhaps this is what the statement means. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. I'm thinking the kingdom of heaven is not a destination on a AAA map that you get in your car and drive to. Heaven could be the Christ within. It could be what Jesus was speaking of, that connective essence, a connective light between us and God, that same thing he was demonstrating to us, if you want to believe like that. That works for me. But heaven is not out there. It's not up in the clouds, even though it's marketed sometimes. Hey, suffer this life, don't worry about it. Next life, you're going to go to heaven. That's even presented that way to Muslims. So if they decide to kill themselves in a suicide bombing and take a whole bunch of infidels, they will go to that destination called heaven, and there are some other benefits of that arrival, particularly appealing to males, that you go, that presentation doesn't work for the way I think. So now, if we can connect to heaven, that relationship with God, that knowingness, that source of power, that source of life, well, that seems pretty much like heaven. We don't have to go to a cloud to have that experience. We can have it sitting at a kitchen table, at an office desk, in a car, in a traffic jam, lying in bed at night, early in the morning, pretty much any time we're willing to connect with it. How do we connect? How do we connect to these different things? It's simple. It's simple. We think about it. We think about it. The mind is a director of energy. It's almost like a road paver, and it extends our energy from where we are, not only geographically, but also from an awareness standpoint to this idea of God. When we think about God, our ability to connect with God is going to be enhanced. How about that? When we connect through our thoughts, we become closer, we become more aware, we improve our connection. The flow of energy between us and what we're thinking, between what we're thinking of and us, all improves as we practice thinking about it in a higher vibrational manner. That means we can think about God and be in a state of abject fear. We could be trembling, afraid of the punishment that we believe we deserve for having done some wrong, some error of commission or sin of omission, some slight, some violation of the rules that disconnects us from God's grace. We can believe that. We can believe that. And we're apt to get more of those feelings as a result of it. On the other hand, we can choose to visualize this God of love, this God of mercy, this God seeking expression through us. And as we become more practiced at being aware of that idea as, I'm a conduit of God's love and light in the world. It shows up in my life, and it shows up through me in the lives of others. As we become more familiar with that idea, more experienced in that idea, it's apt to show up in our lives to a greater degree, and conceivably in the lives of others, simply because we're modeling that vibration, which is a pretty appealing one when you think about it. As we look at this, as we think about this, we recognize that one aspect of this sequence, God, guy or gal, and our good, is oftentimes we have poorly defined or inadequately defined good. I would recommend this idea. When we see something that we like and it makes us feel good about us and good about the world and other people, that's our good. I would suggest we want that good or better. If it is something that gives us power over others, it is not our good. We're looking at something through the wrong end of the telescope or through a distorted awareness. Our good is good overall. It's not just good for us and bad for other people. That's not our good. Our good is good for us, it's good for others, it's good for the world. And it is that narrow view of good, but broad view of good as well, that really could make a whole lot of difference. This is not a win-lose or lose-win. This is a win-win-win. And that is a better definition of our good. And if we haven't defined that because we've got childhood experiences in which when we asked for something, which we thought was good, and we got scolded or disapproved into withdrawing that request and mislearned the lesson that we couldn't have what we wanted, we couldn't have our good. Our good was out there. It was not for us. And asking for it was bad, sinful, selfish, on and on and on. We can get a new point of view about that. We can think about that again and rethink it and rethink it, revisit it. And that relationship between us and our good can be healed. So I've spoken about God, and clearly this could go on for centuries as it has, and talking about our good, and that could go on for a long time as well. But let me talk about the middle G, the guy or the gal. We are going to want to know us. It's who you know. And if we don't know us, we are at a dramatic disadvantage. Knowing us is really important. Some famous Greek philosopher said, "Know thyself." Know thyself. And I think knowing ourselves in conjunction with our connection to our God and as an expression of our God changes a narrow point of view that we may have about ourselves. Now, some of those narrow points of view that we have come from other people. Some of us have been told that simply by being human, by being born a human baby, we were defective, we were flawed. I suggest we can get a new point of view on that. That no longer works for me. Not that it ever worked, but I didn't know we could make other choices. I thought somebody with a lot of wisdom made a determination that this was true, and it was true. Well, somebody made a determination years and years and years ago that the earth was flat, and everybody believed it. Up to a point, and then somebody didn't believe it, and proved that it was false the whole time. Our ability to think gives us the right to think about and rethink anything and everything that's ever been thought. And we can choose, based upon our awareness, whatever thoughts we want. I think that comes with the package, the ability to think. If God wanted puppets, He wouldn't have given us minds. He would have just had strings attached to us, and He would have been a master puppeteer, and that would have been that. Apparently, that's not what the goal was. When God created, according to the Bible in the Genesis story, pretty much, as the story goes, He created something, and then He judged it to be good. He looked at it. Yep, that's good. Yep, created something else. That's good too. Created something else. That's good too. Created something else. That's good too. I think we can rethink who we are. We can know who we are and what we are. There's a real power in it's who you know and what you know about God, about yourself, and about your good. That's real key. And so we can make these choices. We can rethink those three areas, God, ourselves, and our good. And if there's some reason while we pulled away, we disconnected. Now, what I'm describing here are those four horizontal lines. They now are no longer touching the circle marked God. We've pulled back for fear or doubt of something that we've done, or undeservingness, something we did or didn't do. That connection can be healed by rethinking it, by using energy techniques to shift our beliefs, to heal our fears, and recognize that by communicating with God, we can reestablish that connection. In fact, communicating with God, thinking about God, is the connection. Speaking to God is the connection. Saying prayers is the connection. Asking for help is the connection. Expressing gratitude is the connection. You do any of that, all of that, we now have extended our energy. God has always been available to us. And the reason I know that to be true is because we're alive. If our energy was withdrawn from our bodies, if our spirit no longer wanted to occupy this vehicle, we would be disconnected from the physical vehicle. If we're alive, we're clearly connected to the physical vehicle. And if we're experiencing scarcity in our lives, health issues, that's an energy, that's a God, that's a spirit deficiency. Not that the spirit doesn't exist, it's we disallow it. If we're experiencing lack of abundance financially or in some other area of our life, it's the same thing. That abundance exists in that circle marked God, the source of all that is. It's our connection to it is the key element here. The same with good. If we can think it, if we can image it, if we can emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically, physical is going to be the last connection, connect to it, or better, we can have it. One of the challenges that I have personally, and I see it in clients as well, you might want to consider this, is the idea that in this sequence, in this structure, God, guy or gal, and good, is we take our attention off of our connection with God, and we think we have to do it. We have to do it. As if we become cause with a capital C. I don't think so. I think it's okay to be cause with a capital O, with a lowercase c, cause with a lowercase c, because we are a decision maker. We do have the ability to direct our energy, our thought energy, our spiritual energy, our emotional energy, and our physical energy in different directions. We do have that ability. But when we think it is about us, we're doing it, we're doing it, we're doing it, then I think we pull our hand, we pull those four horizontal lines away from the circle marked God, and now whatever's in the pipeline, whatever's in the conduit, is all the energy that we allow to flow to create in the manifestation of our good, which almost inevitably is going to be insufficient. We're not doing it. This is spoken about over and over, and I've mentioned it multiple times in these Sunday talks, is where Jesus said, I'm not doing this, folks. It is God the Father working through me that does the work. It is God the Father working through me who's doing it. Last week I talked about some disciples who were unable to heal a child with epilepsy, and Jesus went to them, and they wanted to know why. He said, well, you guys were thinking that because you were so successful in some of your other healings, that it was about you. You thought you were doing the healing. That's not true. That's not true. God the Father is working through you just like he works through me. And when you took your attention off that reality, you became incapable of helping this child. And so Jesus got into a space and made that connection and healed that child of epilepsy. Letting go and letting God, getting out of the way, getting into the heart and out of our heads, is that same idea where we're willing to trust, we're willing to allow this God energy that we're connected to, because we believe it, we know it, we know who God is, we've defined to the best of our ability, best of our awareness, God and God's relationship to us, we've defined us and our relationship to God, and we allow God to work through us to manifest our good, or even better. And it is that area, it's who you know and what you know that makes life so much easier, so much more meaningful, so much healthier, so much happier, and such a much more fun game to play the new alternative. And we have everything we need in order to do that. We think to connect. And we build that relationship with God and our good and ourselves. Three G's. I would like to end this service with a prayer. Dear God, Father God, Mother God, and Christ, the source and connection to all that is, I command of us and request of you the expansion of our awareness of you in our lives, who you are, what you are, your availability to us. Help us heal our fears, our doubts, our unbeliefs about our relationship with you, our deservingness. Help us to know that we are royalty made by you, of you. Help us to know we can express that, we can show it, we can demonstrate it in our lives, in the lives of our families, our children, our grandchildren, our friends. Help us to know and show your light in our lives. It is so. Thank you. Amen.